I go back to 3 years ago at the Web 2.0 conference in San Francisco. People were barely talking about Enterprise 2.0, and I was the only one standing up at the UN conference talking about, well, let's talk about the government. There's massive problems that we need to be able to address, and the number one asset within the government is our people, but we're not giving them intuitive tools that they can use to be able to address the growing needs that the government faces. And from 3 years ago to now, I remember talking to Tim. I was out in our Colorado Springs office, and Tim came up with the idea of having a Gov 2.0, and Booz Allen said from day one that we'd be one of the main sponsors, because we see with Tim bringing the spotlight on how to improve things and Booz Allen coming at it, we're 23,000 people that focus solely on the federal government. So we're all about being able to bring those new and innovative tools. But to us, in the report that we're talking about, it's the tools are the easy part. While I'm on the technology side, the tools are easy. It's driving adoption and getting the people to use the tools, both from a legal compliance, but just an adoption. Our government employees are working way too hard right now. We can't give them new things to do. We've got to build stuff that goes in their work stream.
And the report, your report is called What It Takes to Change Government, Successfully Executing Ambitious Strategies.
Exactly.
We always talk about this, how difficult and slow change is. And yet, as I look back, even over the last couple of years, wow, a lot has happened. Sometimes when you're right in the midst of it, it doesn't feel that way.
Exactly.
But my goodness, a lot has happened.
And the good thing is, working with the government is they want to share best practices. So what we did was partner with Harvard and Stephen Kelman from Harvard to look at what make successful leaders and how can they drive change. And we looked at 11 different agencies spanning both from the Clinton administration up through the Bush administration to say where we're successful. We had over 300 interviews take place. We picked 8 agencies where, quote unquote, they were successful and 3 that weren't so successful or in some cases failed, and had really in-depth interviews to see what were the commonalities, what worked, what didn't work, and how can we take that knowledge to empower the leaders, because in Gov 2.0, we're transforming how agencies use information or share information, and that's hard. It's a whole lot easier to have a chain of command where you can email your subordinate who emails their person.
Just do it.
Through.
Right.
Now it's to the point where we've got the workforce is walking in the door and they have more power in their Apple iPhone than they have on some of the computers that are sitting on their desk. How do we make a change to empower those folks who are very jazzed up about doing the change, but they walk into an agency that's working with computers that were made in the 90s or the 80s?
Yeah. Remarkable stuff. So, and we're talking to Walton Smith. He is Booz Allen Hamilton's thought leader for enterprise and Gov 2.0. What a great job. I'm going to walk through a couple of these findings, and you can explain to me what this means.
Sure.
One of the key findings was what I called the just do it. Get a running start. Use the time before confirmation to understand your agency, its environment, strategy options, supporters, opponents, and the positions of key lawmakers.
Exactly. What we found is the folks who came in and who took advantage of the time that they have with sometimes a frustrating approval process with the government to get their appointments through, they didn't sit back and just do their traditional work. They went and sat down and met with the rank and file employees, met with the unions, met with the different folks to see how the organization runs, to get an understanding of what are their pain points and how can they come in and implement systems that'll actually make change. But it's making change not just for the sake of change. It's really something that's going to be impactful for the users. Because if the users revolt, I mean, I have a coworker that I won't name the agency. He was gung-ho right out of grad school, and the new commissioner came in and was talking about all the change they were going to make. He went back to his desk, and they were like, yeah, well, we can sit. We'll just wait this person out. And he looked at him and said, it's a 6-year appointment.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've been here for 14. I'm going to retire here. I'll be here a lot longer.
Yeah.
So you've got to understand that you've got to work within the system and empower the people that are doing the day-to-day work, because they're doing it, in most cases, because they're passionate about what they're doing. They just don't have the tools or the ability to make the change at the levels that need to be made.
And they have to do it in, you have to do it in my sense always is, you have to do it in some kind of safe framework. Feds are used to, you know, the phrase, I don't want to be on the front page of the Washington Post.
Exactly.
So you have to figure out, I think, real powerful leaders almost give people a little bit of umbrella safety to go and try something and maybe make even a mistake without being taken out into the mall and bludgeoned to death.
Correct. Yeah. They've got to say that I'm with you, and I'm going to take the hits. You guys do what needs to be done. I mean, I've talked to several agencies who want the White House and some of the folks to continue to push the envelope on using Web 2.0, Gov 2.0 technologies, because if they're doing it, it's a whole lot easier to go to their own agencies and say, well, look over here. They did it, and it's been successful. So let's try to push that and move it forward. So the successful leaders understand where to take the right risk to be able to move things forward, but they understand how it works in the context of their organization.
Here's one of your recommendations is, I think, it sort of flies in the face of what most people think. You actually recommend to have fewer goals.
Yes. A lot of people come in with their manifesto and they've got 30 things are going to change.
Right.
You don't have enough time to answer email in most cases, let alone look at 30 different change initiatives that you have. What we found is the people that were successful went and looked at what are the three or four most impactful things that we can do, worked on putting in place a strategy. You can't just shotgun things. You've got to sit down and make a strategy. Now, we recommend that you don't make a Gantt chart that has 14 subsections so you know what you're doing every 15 minutes of every day, but you've got to focus on three or four changes that are going to be impactful, come up with a strategy, and then most importantly, how do you measure success? Put in performance managers from the beginning, but also be understanding and flexible that things are going to change and you need to look at what are the different impacts that you're having. And in many cases, bringing in outside folks to come up with the performance measures have been even more impactful because they're coming in and getting that fresh perspective on how is the change sinking in and working according to plan.
Well, and in fact, I think sometimes, you know, organizations get into this strategic planning process, and that can be a very helpful, sometimes a critical thing, but sometimes my sense always is that people put so much time into the plan, they never actually get around to the actual doing.
Yeah, they lose the momentum they
yeah.
have. I mean, you can't spend 2 years on a one-year action plan.
Right.
You've got to get the...
Well, and particularly what seems with Gov 2.0 stuff, where this stuff can... If you're spending 2 years, the technology's all changed.
Exactly. I say... yesterday's technology, tomorrow.
Yeah.
In some cases, no, it's changing. What, especially getting back to the Gov 2.0 space, it's frustrating for some of the CIOs and stuff because they're used to buying PeopleSoft or bringing in Oracle. Here, you're buying, say, an $8,000 tool. But the money needs to be spent on the change management communication and integrating it with the other tools. And the key thing is to have a flexible platform that you can continue to innovate and add functionality to. That doesn't work in a lot of the procurement policies or the timelines and stuff that people are used to. They like to buy Outlook, spend a little money, turn it on, and know that it just has an operation and maintenance tail that's easy to determine. A lot of the Gov 2.0 things aren't that easy. The ones that have been successful of saying, we're not going to get everything right from day one, but we're going to listen to our users and we're going to continue to innovate and adapt to continue to move the ball forward.
And it's I think there's almost a discounting of a lot of these tools because they don't cost millions of dollars to build and create an enormous infrastructure to have into place. And so people say, well, it's not real.
Right.
Yeah.
But what's great about the conference we had today and the other stuff is there's so many good examples of where that $8,000 software
yeah.
saved someone's life or got the right information to the right person at the right time that it's hard to put an impact, get the ROI on something. I mean, no one asks for what's the ROI of installing voicemail or
right.
email. It's just part of what you need to do in an organization.
One of your other recommendations, and this one just seems so crucial to me, politicals just talking to other politicals and not bringing in the career folks seems like a easy trap to fall into.
Yes, it's a whole lot easier to sit down with the people who are in the same boat you are. They can say, hey, I'm trying to figure out how to get through the halls, let alone going through. But there's people who've been in the organization for a long time that know how to get stuff done. And you need to get them on your side and get them to be the change agents. What I found in many cases is you have to have leadership buy-in, and the new folks who are coming in, they've drank the Kool-Aid, so to speak, with you. But it's those middle managers who run the organization. They've got more institutional knowledge in their head or strategically saved in their emails than anybody else. And so you've got to get those people on board and show them how doing this is going to make their job better, and we're going to be able to meet the needs of the agency faster. So really having a strategic plan to address how you get those mid-managers and the core workers of agencies is crucial for success.
There's a bunch of other great recommendations. Manage your organization not for the outside world. Think of the stuff you actually have control over. Another one, brand your change and manage that brand. Very important. And unfortunately, we don't. We'll have a link to the full report. You can find it online, federalnewsradio.com. Give me your sense as to, it seems like if this Gov 2.0, if this Enterprise 2.0 stuff is going to be a reality, the net result is it absolutely has to help people do their jobs better.
Correct. Our government employees are the most valuable resource the government has, and they're doing a great job with outdated tools. And what we found in every case that where we've given them tools that are intuitive, their productivity improves, their ability to reach out and cross barriers across agencies or across different parts of within agencies, because they've got a passion about what they're doing. They've got the email groups, or they've got the people that, on GovLoop or others that they're sharing information about. But once the agency provides, and in most cases we found that the agencies already have 80% of the information that they need. The problem is it's siloed off in different applications that are doing jobs that they need to do. But we've never taken a step back and say, how do we aggregate this information so it would be useful for the user to use, improve, and then leave it in a state so the next person can come on and move us not from point A every time, but from point B to C to D, and move that ball forward in a way that we're leveraging the tacit and explicit knowledge that powers our government.
Perfect. Anything else I didn't ask you about that I should have?
I think you've hit the high points. The key thing is it's hard. And you've got to have a plan. You've got to understand that this is not a slogan is important, but it's not going to do it. You've really got to sit down and say, what are the important things I want to get done, and how do I get the right people on board to help me move forward?
And in the end, it's hard, but also there's a way to mitigate risk here. You can try things without the world coming to an end.
Correct.
And don't be stuck by saying these things don't cost money, so they're not real, and we're just talking about something with a funny name or something, so therefore it's not real.
Exactly. Yeah. And it didn't cost much, but what's the impact? I mean, people want to talk about the $10,000 Pentagon toilet seats,
right?
But I'm more upset about that we have the knowledge to be able to help someone in Haiti or to help someone in Clarksville, Tennessee, but we don't have the ability to connect the two people that have the information that's needed to be able to solve their problem. That's more frustrating to me.
A remarkable time to be doing this, isn't it?
Yes.
The amount of change going on, just absolutely phenomenal.
It's scary but awesome at the same time.
Yeah. Buckle in, because I think it's not slowing down at all, is my sense.
No, which is what's exciting about it, because I've gone from folks saying, what's a wiki, what's a blog, to how do I do a better job engaging my constituents, or how do I do a better job of providing the knowledge that the 5,000 people that I've got to hire next quarter, how are they going to hit the ground running to be able to serve the missions of my agency? And those are the awesome conversations. If they're looking at the true problems and how can we strategically improve things, if you're just looking to install a wiki, anybody can do that.
Right.
But how do you integrate that into the day-to-day workings of your employees? That's where the true power is.
And my sense is people are a little bit scared because there's a lot coming at them, and it's a little bit scary.
It's definitely information overload, but the great thing that by focusing on aggregating information around the individual and then around the communities or the communities of interest, you have the experts aggregate the right information. So I would never say that a commissioner of agency X should read every blog and every tweet and everything that's out there, but have core people that you value and follow them or allow them to aggregate information. So rather than going in and typing in baseball on Google, and you'll get 3 million hits in 1.8 milliseconds, but now you got 3 million places to go look. I'd rather go and reach to my expert and see what are the four or five things she's following, because she knows what's going on in that space.